Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
This morning, I'm sharing on Thy Kingdom Come, and the topic can also be understood as God's purpose for the earth, and then it can also be titled Replenish the Earth. So as we talk about Thy Kingdom Come, we will be able to answer the question, God's purpose for the earth, and then we will be able to know what God expects us to use to replenish the earth or to fill out this earth. So our text is from Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 to 11. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying to them, Go over into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass or a donkey tied, and a colt with her, as a young of a donkey. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man asks aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal or the young of an ass. And I want us to note verse 5. Tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. May the Lord add his blessing, his anointing, his joy to the reading of his word. Amen. So I want us to talk about the subject of Thy Kingdom Come. As we all know, Jesus Christ came teaching the kingdom of heaven, and he spoke it throughout his life. The first statement that he made, as recorded in the book of Matthew chapter 4 verse 17, was that repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right following in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, you get to see that Jesus Christ started to mention the kingdom over and over again. Indeed, we are told that over 114 times the word kingdom is mentioned in the Gospels. It saturates the gospel, the good news, with the kingdom. If you read the gospel, you understand that the things about the kingdom was the most commonly used word. The kingdom was the most commonly used word in the gospel. And most of the parables of Jesus Christ were about the kingdom. He spoke many parables, and most of them was about the kingdom. In fact, if you study the Gospels and the Bible critically, you will come across that Jesus Christ taught 52 lessons in kingdomology. Kingdomology is the study of the kingdom. So Jesus Christ taught 52 lessons about the kingdom, and he was giving us one lesson for every one of the 52 years weeks in the year. So every week, we can take a lesson about the kingdom, and we can, as it were, assimilate it. And if you read the book of Matthew chapter 24 and then verse 14, you will get to understand that the only direct sign that Jesus Christ gave about the end of this dispensation of grace, it is in Matthew chapter 24 verse 14, is that the gospel of the kingdom was going to be preached. It was going to be preached to every ethnos or every nation group as a witness unto them, so that they can also see the kingdom. A witness is somebody who saw the thing happening, so that every one of the ethnos or nation groups in the world, society and people groups, every one of them will be able to see the kingdom in their lives. The kingdom of God coming is not just for some selected group of people, but it is for everybody. I believe that the continent of Africa is going to witness the kingdom of God coming in its fullness. Hallelujah. And if you read the book of Matthew chapter 6 also, you will get to understand that the first prayer of priority for Jesus Christ is for us to pray that his kingdom will come, so that before we ever leave to heaven to spend some short time in heaven, we are going to live not as people who are afraid of this world, afraid of the spirits of this world, afraid of the pressures of this world, afraid of the troubles of this world, but we will live as people who lived in the world and overcame. We are living to heaven as overcomers, not as people who are victims and who are defeated and longing for heaven. And the amazing thing about the issue of the kingdom is that after Jesus Christ resurrected, the kingdom language intensified. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 1 and then verse 3, that Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, appeared to his disciples or apostles and taught them for 40 days on one subject, on the kingdom. The Bible puts it this way in the Greek, that he relayed to them things about the kingdom. That should make us to understand that the person we are worshiping and we are following has the kingdom as his priority. He spoke about it so much that one time in the book of Luke chapter 17, the Bible says that it was demanded of him when the kingdom should appear. And then he said to them that the kingdom is not going to appear with observation as you are observing it, but you have to participate in order for the kingdom to appear. Hallelujah. So Jesus spoke so much about the kingdom that they were making demands of him, that all this thing that you are speaking about, when will it happen? I remember in Acts chapter 1 verse 6, after he has spoken to them so much for 40 days on the kingdom, the apostles asked Jesus, will you at this time restore the kingdom? And the word that they use is very interesting in the Greek, because the word restore comes from two words, re and then store. It's talking about something that we had already, which we lost, and then they are asking Jesus, because Jesus says, I'm going away. And they said, how can you go? Are you going to restore the thing now? Are we going to experience and be witnesses to the kingdom of God now? And Jesus Christ, in answer to the question, referred them to the Holy Spirit, who is the chief kingdomizer. If you read Acts of the Apostles, and really if you study Acts of the Apostles, and the Bible enjoins us to study the Bible more than to read the Bible, okay? But if you study Acts of the Apostles, you get to understand that Acts of the Apostles started with the kingdom and then ended with the kingdom, with the Holy Spirit in between, to ensure that what was promised is realized, and then we can have hope that the promise of the kingdom will be a reality in our lives. So that is about Jesus Christ. In summary, about Jesus Christ and how he placed emphasis on the kingdom. And I believe that the Lord Jesus has not changed. If he had continued, I believe that because he does not change, he is still going to speak about the kingdom. Now, if you read from Acts of the Apostles, I want us to just go through the Bible and let us see what Paul preached, because you understand from Acts of the Apostles chapter 19 that Paul also preached about the kingdom. Acts chapter 19, if you flip your Bible over there, because we are in a school, so get busy, very busy flipping Bibles here and there, but we are going to concentrate on Acts of the Apostles, in knowing what Paul preached about the kingdom, that Paul preached about the kingdom. Acts chapter 19, verse 8 to 10. Speaking about Paul, the Bible says, "And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus." And please underline the word of the Lord Jesus. The word of the Lord Jesus is the word about the kingdom. We have gone through knowing how Jesus Christ frequently spoke about the kingdom. The Bible says that in the space of 3 months, Paul was in the school of Tyrannus, and then he was also disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. So we know that Paul preached about the kingdom. Look at Acts 20 and verse 25. Paul is addressing the elders of Ephesus, and he is, as it were, giving a summary of his whole ministry, because he tells them that I have run a certain race, you are not going to see my face anymore. And so he is making a summary of all the things that he has done. And in verse 25 he says, "And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." So Paul also taught and preached about the kingdom. Look at Acts chapter 28 and then verse 23. Acts 28 verse 23. The Bible says that, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening." Hallelujah. "And some believed the things which were spoken." And of course, always some people have got doubts when you speak about the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul spoke about the kingdom. Finally, let's look at the same chapter, Acts 28 and then verse 30 to 31. "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him." So you see through these scriptures that the whole ministry of the Apostle Paul was about preaching the kingdom of God. So at this point, I want us to move further to ask ourselves this question: what is the kingdom that Jesus spoke about that we should pray for and long for above every other thing? In fact, to put it simply, praying thy kingdom come is praying that God's influence will be stronger and stronger, and the influence of the flesh, of men, and of demons will be weaker and weaker. When you pray thy kingdom come, it means that you are praying that God's influence, because the kingdom of God is talking about the influence of God. It's talking about the rule, R-U-L-E, of God. So we should pray, the Bible says, that God's influence will come. The influence will be stronger and stronger, and that of the flesh and that of demon spirits will become weaker and weaker. It is like what the Old Testament tells us in the book of Samuel, that there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. There was a long war between two kingdoms, the kingdom of Saul and the kingdom of David. And the kingdom of David waxed stronger and stronger, and that of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. In other words, praying thy kingdom come is gradually seeing the influence of God becomes that strong, because Saul is like the rebellious Lucifer. His kingdom has become weaker and weaker, and David is a type of Jesus. In fact, he represents, so to speak, the son of David. The Bible calls him the son of David, and he represents the ideal kingdom that God wants to establish on the face of this earth, which David only came to foreshadow. So that David's house became stronger and stronger. This is a prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, not just once a while, but to pray all the time. Because there is a long war between establishing the influence of God and then establishing, as it were, the influence of the devil being abated. So in praying thy kingdom come, it is causing the Holy Spirit to push aside other influences that is upon our lives. Because there are many things that are influencing our lives. Some of it is coming from our negative past. It is coming from our negative ancestry. It's coming from our past because man fell. It's coming from our family line. The Bible says that praying thy kingdom come is praying that the Spirit of the living God is going to push aside all other influences, and the influence of God will be greater and greater in our lives. I believe that all of us who are here, all of us who are listening, we need to have the kingdom of God becoming stronger and stronger in our lives. We need to have it stronger and stronger in our families. We need to have it stronger and stronger in our society. Hallelujah. And so we should continue to pray that, Lord God, let your influence, let your rule be strong. Do not let even the influence of my negative past hold sway over me. May I not be controlled of my negative past, by my negative past, so that my life enters into a certain destination that you have not got for me. But praying thy kingdom come is asking God, the Lord God, may these negative influences never dictate to me. May it not control me. May it not be in charge of my life and of my destiny. Praying thy kingdom come is causing the Holy Spirit to make Jesus Christ the Lord, the controlling person in our lives. Controlling influence in our lives is supposed to be the Lord Jesus. I want us to understand that Jesus Christ must become the Lord of our lives and not just the Savior of our lives. Hallelujah. And it comes by our continually asking the Lord that let your influence and let your kingdom come in my life. It is causing our lives to be filled with the right influences, not the influences of other controlling spirits like demons and the influence of our flesh and human beings. Hallelujah.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
In fact, thy kingdom come goes back to the Adamic covenant in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, you come across the first ever agreement or covenant God made with mankind. I call it the mother of all covenants. All other covenant that comes after is under this Adamic covenant. What was the Adamic covenant? It is an agreement God made with man, that man, and then man with God, of course, that man should replenish the earth. And that is in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, God tells human beings that I have created my world. Now I want to agree with you that you are going to do something about this earth that I have created. I'm going to give you the energy. I'm going to give you the assistance. I'm going to give you of my spirit. But I have only one agreement with mankind, that this my earth that I have created, I want you to replenish it. So in Genesis chapter 28, chapter 1 verse 28, the Bible says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moves upon the earth. Now I want us to note some few things about this scripture, because it tells us about the purpose of the earth. In this scripture that we have just read, it tells us about God's purpose for mankind. One of it is that man should be fruitful. The other one is that man should multiply, and man should replenish, and man should subdue and have dominion. But the word replenish is interesting, because that one tells us God's purpose for the earth. In other words, God creates his earth, and he has got a purpose for the earth. And mankind came around so that through mankind, God's purpose for the earth will be fulfilled. So mankind being fruitful is for a purpose. Multiplying is for a purpose. What is the purpose? The purpose is so that the earth will be filled. We are not just to be fruitful for the sake of fruitfulness. We are not just to be multiply for the sake of multiplying. We are supposed to do these two commandments. It becomes God's purpose for us, because he has got a purpose for the earth. And his purpose for the earth is that the earth will be replenished. It will be refilled. That's the meaning of the word replenish. In fact, in the Greek, that word is the word male. M-A-L-E. It's pronounced malay. Okay, in the Greek, it's pronounced malay. But that is the meaning, or that is the word that was translated replenish there. And that word means that to fill, to complete. Hallelujah. So God has a purpose for the earth, and his purpose is that human beings who are around will be fruitful and multiply, so that the ultimate purpose of the earth that he created before he created man will be fulfilled. We are human beings created to perform one thing on this earth, to make sure that the earth is malay, is refilled. Hallelujah. And let us look at the purpose in something else in Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. And then verse number 18 or so. Isaiah chapter 45. Yeah, verse 18. It says what? It says this. Let's read from 17 so that you get the whole picture. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. And please underline or note world without end. God is talking about his world that he has created. And so he's speaking something concerning his purpose for the world or the earth. Verse 18 now, he says, for thus says, because thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he has established it. He created it not in vain. And please underline, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret or in the dark place of the earth. In other words, what God is saying is that he created the earth not in vain. And the word vain there is talking about empty. You know that the Bible says that the earth was empty. It was void in the book of Genesis. And God says that, no, I did not create the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. I did not create it so that the earth will become empty or the earth will become vain. It says that, world without end, I formed the heavens, I formed the earth, and I did not create it for it to be empty. I created it so that my purpose for the earth is for it to be filled up. It's for it to be filled up. And human beings are supposed to refill and fulfill God's purpose for the earth that he created. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the book of Habakkuk and I will show you something else. Habakkuk is getting to the end of the Bible. Habakkuk chapter number 2. You can go to the end of the Bible, Malachi, and open your pages gradually. As you go to the left, you would come across Habakkuk chapter 2 and then verse 13. It says what? It says that, behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts. And please note how strong this prophet is getting. He says, look, I know that you see certain things happening around, but I want you to know that God is not the source. God is not the one who is doing it. It may be a certain religious spirit doing it. It may be a human being doing it. It may be the devil and his demons doing it. But he says that, look, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people should labor in the very fire, and the people should worry themselves for very vanity, because the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. The Bible is telling us that it is not from God that people will labor and yet till they see that a certain fire comes to destroy all their labor so that they are not able to replenish the earth with anything. It says that, know that it is not from God that people should weary themselves and then it ends up in vain or it ends up empty. Nothing happens to the earth. Nothing fills the earth. And in verse 14, he continues, he says that, because the earth, God's purpose for it is that the earth shall be filled. So when we are laboring and the earth is not getting filled, then we should know that it is not of the Lord, because he did not create the earth in vain. He created it to be filled. Filled with what? And that is what Habakkuk is teaching us. Now, I want you to underline the word filled if you are using the King James, because he uses that word. And if you go into the Greek, it is the same word malay that is translated replenish in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. So he says that, for the earth shall be replenished. It shall be malayed. It shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So what are we supposed to fill this earth with? What is God's purpose for the earth? He wants his earth to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And he wants it to so saturate this earth that it will be like the waters covering the sea. Hallelujah. I want us to understand that God wants humanity to know his glory as a king. Hallelujah. He wants to establish to humanity and this earth that he is the king of all kings, that he is the Lord of all laws, that he's supposed to have the influence, and this earth must be under his sway and not under the influence of our past negative and our ancestry, which is negative, or the negative part of it. It is interesting, ladies and gentlemen, that God wants us in our own lives to fill our lives with the knowledge of his glory as a king. In the Hebrew, the word translated glory is the word splendor, is the word majesty. These are words that we use for a royal. Hallelujah. It says that, I want the earth to know my royalty. I want them to know my influence. I want them to know my rule. Hallelujah. And it should so permeate the earth that it will be as the waters cover the sea. That is why Jesus Christ came, and his message all throughout in the dominant part is that the kingdom of God is upon us. The influence of God has come. He wants it to grow stronger and stronger, and that of other influences become weaker and weaker.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.